Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contaminated.
Well, hello once again, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. That's right. Welcome once again to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker, and we're going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I hope you all are as excited as I am for this broadcast. So, by all means, I'm going to ask that you definitely stay with me tonight. I'm a little bit under the weather, and I hate to make excuses. So if you hear, I've got a slight cough and a slight cold and the hiccups. So if you hear my voice going in and out, please understand. So we've got a very, very special guest that's going to be joining us, in addition to my co-host. So we're going to be joined by Edith momentarily. So we want to let you know that. All right. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can certainly listen in to the show by way of a computer at drjessewalker.com, or you can listen in by radio. By phone at 347-857-1769. Once again, 347-857-1769. My co-host Audrey Blake will be joining me a little late this evening. She's tied up in travel, but she has indicated that she will be joining us probably 25 minutes into tonight's broadcast. My featured guest is Edith. She's going to be sharing a little bit about herself relative to tonight's topic. And once again, I want to go ahead and promote my book, After the Passion, Now What? It's found on my website at drjessewalker.com. Also, I want to let you know that February 24th, we're going to be coming out with a publication that supports the Friday Night Ministry program that I do. And that publication is only $4.95. $4.95. So we're going to be coming per month, that is. And it comes out once a week. It's called Your Weekly Inspirational Thought for Spiritual Enrichment. Once again, Your Weekly Inspirational Thought for Spiritual Enrichment. And we'll probably give some information on that on Friday night's broadcast, give you a sample of what it's about. So without further ado, let me go ahead and bring Edith in and let her tell you a little bit about herself relative to tonight's topic just before we get to tonight's story. That's right, just before we get to tonight's story, we're going to go ahead and bring Edith in and let her tell you a little bit about herself I'm sure she's in a much better position to do that than I am. All right, we're going to hear from Edith at this time. Edith, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You are on the air live, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit under the weather as well. I have a hoarseness right now. However, I didn't want to cancel because I figure that somebody out there is going to benefit from this testimony.
Okay.
First of all,
Just tell us a little bit in brief.
A little bit about yourself. Yes, quickly.
Okay.
I just want to let you know that I've been a single mother, you know, for the past 8 years. And all I can tell you is that the only way that I have been able to survive and make it with my three sons has been walking with the Lord. Walking with the Lord in perfect alignment and trying to abide by His rules. In other words, following the commandments, obedience. It all boils down to obedience to the Lord. And thank God, you know, I came through a lot of things miraculously. I mean, I went through hell and back, and thanks to the Lord, I am very grateful that today I'm victorious. I did my career and everything with my children. In other words, I did not finish my education until I was a single mother. It was tough. It was not a walk in the park. However, it's not impossible if you really have that dream and you want to follow that dream. Find your passion and do whatever you want to do.
Okay, that sounds good. And I'm sure you have a lot more to share with us. And we're going to get to tonight's story. And I'm going to try my best to make it through this story,
okay,
knowing that I have the hiccups, and I understand you're under the weather, so
yes,
it's going to be quite interesting, but we're going to do the best we can. Thank you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, the show, of course, does not have all the answers, but together with your help, I can assure you we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. So please stay tuned with us, and we thank you for that. Tonight's character in our broadcast is Vicky. Now, our story tonight is about Vicky, a 30-year-old single mother with three small children, ages 9, 11, and 5. For some reason, seemingly unbeknownst to Vicky, her life has been that of a struggle, even in her primary and secondary years of schooling. Now, Vicky completed high school but never went any further to advance herself. She never married, instead found herself constantly gravitating to the wrong relationships, which lasted for years with never any promise or demand for marriage. Now, her dreams and aspirations have always been to become a cosmetologist to do hair. She is always well-groomed, very appealing, and has never had a problem getting a man in her life, even if he did not have the right intentions for her. Now, Vicky has been unemployed and on government assistance for the past 9 years. And it is never enough to cover expenses, including meeting the needs of her and the children. The fathers that she has these kids by are not on child support and do not provide any assistance at all for her or the children. Now, Vicky is highly depressed. That's why Vicky has become highly depressed and feels there is no way out of this rut because each day seems to get harder. The man she is with now, that's right, the man she's seen now, happens to be married and seeing her on the side. Now, he does provide a few groceries now and then, but never enough to really be in her life to meet her needs. All right, so as we continue with Vicky, with now seeing a married man on the side, she knows the priority has to be her children and trying her best to feed, clothe, transport, and house them. Vicky does not see any hope of ever becoming a cosmetologist and cries often about her circumstances. Vicky does not receive any assistance from any of her family members, including her mother, because none of them are actually in as good a position as she is. So they're not in any better position than she is. Her problems extend to problems always with the car breaking down, to repairs needed in her low-income housing. Now, she is overwhelmed and without hope. Now, there are several questions that we lead in tonight, and there are six of them that we want to point out. First question is it Vicky's parents' fault that she is in this rut? Why or why not? Question number two, could this be Vicky's fate in life to be stuck in a rut? Question number three, do you know someone in a situation like that of Vicky? If so, how did he or she handle it? Question four, is there really any hope for Vicky and her children to get through this rut? Question five, should Vicky hold on to the married guy since he provides some groceries now and then? And then finally, question number six, what practical advice would you give Vicky to get beyond her circumstances or for a situation. And, of course, we ask you to hold on to your feet, your computer, and definitely your phone. The answers to these questions and much more, perhaps, which brings us, of course, to tonight's topic. Practical advice for a struggling single parent, part one, starting right here, right now, live on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Now, Edith, I know that's a handful and a lot to digest. With my voice going yeah. in and out, I'm going to try to keep our answers real short tonight because this topic,
right.
my producer letting me know, and they've let me know prior to the show that this sort of topic is one that can last, you know, for days and weeks and months. So we're going to do a part two. And my understanding
right.
is you'll be back with us on February 12th, a week from next Tuesday, to do part two.
Yes,
is that
the
right?
Lord willing, I will.
Sounds good. Let's start with now talking about Vicki here. And certainly if any of you all, we'll take the third caller to give a free gift that we have in the studio for you tonight. If you're the third caller to call in to participate, we certainly have a free gift for you. Excuse me. Now, let's start out with question number one. Is it Vicki's parents' fault, Edith, that she is in this rut? And why or why not?
I personally don't think – I'm sorry. Yes?
Go ahead.
Yes, I personally don't think it's her parents' fault because I believe that there are, according to the Bible, there are some generational curses, and it's pretty much like a cycle, and we are in control of breaking this cycle if we really are seeking the Lord. So we don't have to stay in the cycle forever. So whatever happened to her parents doesn't have to be happening to her. However, she should not be faulting her parents for what's happening. You know, every generation is different, and anybody can actually break away from a generational curse like this. And we should not fault her parents at all because it's a cycle. Children tend to model what they see. And it is what it is, and she has to break away from that cycle.
So two things here. One, you're saying that it's not her parents' fault. You're answering the question, and you're saying you're gone beyond, and you're suggesting or saying, if I'm hearing you correctly, that this could possibly be a generational curse. Now, would you explain that to us? And then you mentioned a person, if that's the case, one can break their generational curse. So in brief, explain to us what you mean by generational curse, and then secondly, in brief as well, tell us how one can break that.
Okay. According to what I've read in the Bible, what a parent does, or back in the days before Jesus Christ came, whatever the parents did actually was supposed to be the curse was supposed to be attributed to the children. However, ever since Jesus Christ came, Jesus paid the price for us, so we don't have to be carrying the burden of the parents anymore. We can break away through the blood of Jesus Christ, and by putting Jesus first and trusting in him that everything will be all right, that we can break away from this curse, which still follows us because we are by nature sinners. We can break away from that cycle. And yes, it is possible, but you got to seek first the kingdom of heaven, you know.
All right, so you're saying to break the cycle, one needs to seek the kingdom of heaven. But on tonight's
yes.
broadcast, for the sake of, since tonight's broadcast is practical advice for a struggling single parent, part one, we're going to look at not just, and I understand the spiritual aspect of it.
No, the spiritual side, okay.
Right. In
as
addition
a practical
to the spiritual
advice.
Aspect, we're looking for some practical thoughts. So we're saying here, and of course, if you all want to speak to the host, certainly press 1. We will entertain your thoughts, whether you agree or disagree. And let me take a look here. Could this be Vicki's fate in life to be stuck in a rut? We're going to go to the phone line. Now we're going to take Rose, who's called into the air. Rose, welcome to the show tonight.
Hi, Dr. Walker.
Hi, Rose. Thank you for joining us. Rose, give us your thoughts on this. I mean, is it her fate in life to be stuck in a rut?
I wanted to talk a little bit about, Eve, what Edith said, I mean, well, what you just asked Edith about if, whether or not it's her mother's fault, it's her parents' fault. And I was thinking, we don't know the whole story, of course, but of course, it depends on her upbringing, and it could be, it is possible that it could partially be, you know, her upbringing, you know, her parents. But I think the majority of the blame needs to go to Vicky because she's of age. She's now 30. So even if her upbringing wasn't what it ought to be, you know, she's of age, so she can make wiser decisions, whereas she can change her situation. So I don't think I would actually blame her parents, although a part of the fault might have begun there. But certainly she's 30 now, so she can break away from whatever it is that might have kept her in that bind because of her upbringing and make better decisions now to move on and get out of this rut that she's in.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that, but I'm kind of confused here, Rose, with what you're saying. You say it could be based on her upbringing partially. You're suggesting, or it sounds like you're suggesting that part of the problem could be her upbringing, her parents. And now this is a 30-year-old woman. How long is she supposed to stay and dwell in the fact that, oh, my parents, my mom or my dad, they didn't raise me right? You know, you got three. I mean, at what point, I mean, do you become, I understand, an adult, but grown up?
Well, you know, I'm not totally blaming her parents, but I'm saying depending on the upbringing, it's possible that, you know, it could have started that there. Whereas, okay, for example, her schooling, maybe her parents didn't push her, you know, to go to school. Maybe her parents didn't allow her to go on after high school. We don't know what the situation is. So it's possible that her problem started at home, you know. But now that she's older, she might have gotten a slow start because of her upbringing. But I'm saying now that she's older, she can make wiser decisions and she can, you know, get herself somehow out of the rut that she's in.
Okay. Edith, let me ask you this question. You said that you're a single parent with three boys. And
right.
I'm sure that's not an easy thing to do. Did your parents, let me ask you this, did they push you after high school and say, hey, Edith, I want you to go on to college? Did they pave the way for you? I mean, no, we don't, Rose, we don't know all the circumstances surrounding her situation. But what we do know is that this woman has three small children, ages 11, 9, and 5, and things are just, she's stuck in a rut. And whether it's a generational curse or not, she needs practical advice to come out of this situation. Now, a quick question to you, Edith, and that is, did your parents push you to go off to college?
Let me be honest with you. My mother only completed the sixth grade. She was not educated. My father was educated, but he divorced my mom. And my mom always instilled in me, I was living with my mom and stepdad. My stepdad was not educated. He never even went through grammar school. He was a tailor. And so I was living in a very dysfunctional family. However, my mom always told me, always get educated so that you don't become like me. That's the only advice she gave me. However, she was not involved into my schooling because she was working in a factory. She was a factory worker. And everything I did it on my own. I went through high school and everything because I wanted to please my mom. I wanted to obey my mom. It all boils down to obedience. And I wanted to please her, make her happy and proud of me. And also because I wanted to follow what she said, never become like me. You don't want to be ending up in a factory. Get educated. So I always pushed myself to the limit, even though my mom never, not once went to an open house for my schooling. She hardly ever saw my report cards. I pushed myself to the limits. She never was involved. She never had the time. She had five children.
Okay,
I agree with Rose. If you really want to do it, and especially I did it through high school. When you become aware of the circumstances and you really want it so bad and you want to get out of that misery, you have to want it so bad that you have to really go against the current.
Okay, so and what I'm hearing is that this was an innate thing within you. You wanted it. And just like with Vicky,
I wanted it badly.
Vicky's got to want this. I mean, here she is.
Definitely.
She's had these babies and certainly we're not going to take anything away from the children because they didn't ask to come here. But the fact that they're here now, I think it becomes Vicky's, certainly it becomes her responsibility to look after these kids. And then for her own sake, education, I agree with you, is perhaps the way up and the way out. Now, that answers my next question based on what you said, and that is there really any hope for Vicky and her children to get through this rut? And I think you started to mention how through education, you know, and you mentioned what
education
level of education do you have now? What level of education do you have? Do you have an associate's degree?
A teacher.
You're a teacher.
I have a bachelor's degree and minor in chemistry and certificate in environmental science.
What? Well, see?
And I'm
so
the only one that went through college in my family, the only one.
Wow. Well, what was your motivation, Edith?
My motivation was my mom. My mom, that I wanted to make her proud. However, I did not accomplish that while I was single. I went through the same rut as Vicky. I, you know, actually got married at a very young age just to get away from the abusive family in my family, dysfunctional family. It didn't work out. And I definitely ended up in divorce and being single mom with three children. And I ended up going to school. However, the only different things between Vicky and me is that my ex was there for me while I went to school. He was taking care of the children. I have that support. That's the only support that I can actually appreciate. So while I went to school, he did not want me to go to school, but I managed to somehow convince him for him, because he was very jealous and very persistent, but I managed somehow for him to let me go to school, complete my education. I had a baby. The other two other small children, I went to hell and back because it was constantly abusive, constantly a struggle to make it. Sometimes I felt like giving up. However, I made it because of my kids. I figured I want to give my education, this education to my kids. I want to bring up my kids to do better than me and even better than, you know, what I can imagine. So, yeah, I did achieve my bachelor's degree and my career. And the reason why I became a teacher was to take care of my children. While they were out, I was taking care of my children and being together with them at the same time.
Edith, let me ask you a question quickly here, and if you can give us a short version of this answer, we would really appreciate that. And that is, do you feel, and I'm going to ask you a personal question about your kids, do you feel that a parent who is educated, is they're standing a greater chance of their children getting a formal education? And so,
definitely so.
That question, yes, sir, definitely what?
Definitely so, yes. Educated parents can have their children to become highly educated as well. And they can motivate their children to be more educated, yes.
All right, how old are your three sons? How old are your three sons?
Yes, 19, 20, and 26.
Okay, and now tell me, just briefly, you don't have to put the whole story out there, the 26-year-old, what is he doing now?
The 26-year-old,
mm-hmm.
He's a private pilot right now.
Oh, awesome.
He went as getting a private pilot license, yes.
Okay, and the 21-year-old?
He just finished and graduated with an associate's degree, and then he's going to be pursuing his bachelor's degree in aviation administration, working for LanChile Airlines.
One of the airlines. And then the 20-year-old,
right.
What is he doing?
The 19.
The 19-year-old,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
He's pursuing a music career in music production. He's graduating next year. And then he's going to be enrolling in a music school in Orlando, which is called Sail University.
Okay.
And by the way, we don't have any money to put him through that university. He's going to get a loan for $75,000 and pay it when he's finished. He says he's so positive that he's going to finish it and he's going to be making enough money to pay that loan. He will
ask for a loan. Because it obviously is something he wants, would you say?
He wants it. He wants it.
He wants it. Now, would you say that based on having been a struggling single parent with three sons, was there ever a time that one of them or all of them actually challenged you? Give us a short version that, you know, not having a father in the home for them during your single parenting years, was there a time when one of them was like, oh, she's a woman, I'm not going to listen to her? And how did you handle that? Did you bring out any androgynistic behavior that made them realize that, I'm daddy and mama in this house. Tell us
definitely
about that.
So. Yes, I set my foot down, and I started taking away privileges, and I did, you know, a lot of modification behavior with them. So they modified their behavior, so I would give them back their privileges. And on top of that, since I didn't have a man in the house, obviously, what I did was I used my brother as a role model. I have two brothers,
yep.
So I would call
okay.
either one or the other to step in and to help me out. If you have a good role model, as a family member, a male figure, that would be even better. However, when they're not around, and I told them, there were times in which they could not come over to help me out. And I would just tell them, I don't care. I'm the woman and the mother in this house, and you're going to have to respect me. I don't have to call any of my brothers to help me out. I will handle it. And if you don't do as I say, I will take action. I will take action and, you know, taking away privileges from the beginning. You cannot wait until the last minute. And when they see that you're serious, you take away privileges, then they will respect you. I've never had any problems.
Which one of them may have had to be the most demonstrate the most drastic behavior with? And what was
the
that?
Middle one.
The middle one, that middle child syndrome. And what was the
yes.
action, if any, that you took out at one point in time? Did you take something drastic away from him? Did you ban
yeah.
him from something?
I took away his computer, and I kept it in my trunk going to school. To my job for a whole month. That you know how it is. You have to really be drastic about that. So I took away the computer. Besides taking the computer, once I took him to a birthday party, he wasn't there when I went there to pick him up. He was minor. He went with somebody else to another house. When I found out, I got really mad, obviously. Which was almost time to his graduation, I took away his grad night. After I had paid for it, I went and got my money back.
Did I hear you correctly? Wait a minute. You said that He went to a party, and and he's obviously a senior now in high school.
He's a senior.
And when you went to the party to pick him up, he wasn't there. He went somewhere
else
with a friend of his.
He wasn't there. At 8 o'clock, I was supposed to pick him up at 8.
Uh-huh.
He wasn't there. He was at somebody else's house, at one of his friends' house.
And you took away his grad night, which is only once a night. I mean, one time in their senior year, you did that drastic act on him?
That drastic act, yeah, because of the fact that he disobeyed me, and I was really worried about him. I had to go through all his friends to contact him, to find out where he was. And eventually, since he didn't even tell me or call me, if had he asked me before, I would probably accept it and say, well, okay, he would have asked me. You know, like if he asked me, I would say, okay, where are you going to be? For as long as I knew where he was going to be, I probably would have given him permission. But he never called. He took it up on himself on his own and did it on his own.
Uh-huh.
So because of his disobedience, I took away his grad night after I had paid for it. Not to mention the fact that he challenged me. He goes, oh, you can't do that. It's already paid for. So I went there to the school and I did it. I took it away.
And you got the money back.
He said he'll never forget or forgive. However, nowadays, he says he's forgiven me, but he'll never forget what I did. And I told him he could go to his... Yeah, I said I could pay for his grad night with his brother now when he was graduating. He said, no, it's not going to be the same because my friends are not going to be there. However, I let him know that this is going to be with him for the rest of his life.
Wow, that does
yes.
sound. We're going to go to the phone lines once again. We're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to go to our second caller for the evening.
All right.
We're going to go to 919-562. Thank you for joining us. You're on the air live.
Yes, hi. How's everyone doing this evening?
We're great. Who do we have?
Thank you.
Fine. Christy.
Christy,
okay,
thank you
for joining. Heard, is her name Edith?
Edith.
Okay, Edith, you know, in this day and time, if we had more parents like you, then the world would be a better place to live in. I am what you did because as growing up as children, you have to be firm with children. I heard Dr. Walker say you took away his grand night. That will be something. And you say you have another one that's about to graduate?
Yes.
Okay. Guess what? He will remember that. Okay? Definitely. If you share with your oldest, youngest son now what you did to the other son when he went to a party and when you went there, he wasn't there, that one will remember that. Because to me, when my kids was growing up, I had to be firm as well. And that is what is wrong with society, with the new parents that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
They are not firm with their children, okay?
That's
I'm talking about even at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we see so many kids see the world, and with all these kids doing, parents saying, oh, they don't know what they have in their children's room, or they don't even know what their, who their children's friends are. How you going to have a child in your house and you don't even know what's going on with that child?
Yeah, that's true. To jump in, let me tell you something. Up until this day, my children all, they're grown up already, most of them, and they still have a curfew. They got to get home by 12 midnight. And
okay.
If they're staying past that time, they got to let me know where they're at, and they got to touch base with me. And even the other one, the small one, you know, he's always checking with me constantly. Even if he, like, people say, why is he always calling you, letting you know? And even his friends criticize him. Why do you have to take home with your mom everywhere you go? That is the way it is. It's supposed to, because that's
are they still in your house?
Yes.
I'm totally with you. If they are still in your house, I mean, my kids are grown now and they have their own place, but if they are still in your house, I'm with you. If my kids are still in my house, they would have a curfew, okay?
Definitely.
So Edith, you're telling me, and my listening audience here around the world are hearing you say that your 26-year-old still have a curfew of 12 o'clock?
Actually, he's got an extended, all the other ones have a 12. That one, since he's older and he's more mature, he actually can go and stay partying with his friends or go to a club or something like that. However, he calls me from wherever he's at, and I tell him, I don't want you to be here by the breaking dawn. You got to be
Thank
here.
You.
Okay, you got to be
okay,
here
sure.
at a certain reasonable time, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I don't want to be staying up waiting for you and not knowing what's going to happen to you up there. So
you know
what?
That is the key.
Yes.
What was that again, Christy? And then we're going to go to Paul and Rose.
Because my son came to visit me from Alabama just around the Christmas time. He lives in Alabama, so and I live in another area. So, you know, he one of his friends, he happened to call while he was here, and they didn't decide to hook up until later because, you know, for different circumstances. So I could not rest until he was in the house, okay? He called me,
yep.
And he's not familiar with where I live, so he called me at 1 o'clock. He was in a way, the young lady had told him how to get back here. He had the GPS, but the GPS evidently was sending him somewhere else. And he called me at 1 o'clock from one area, and I knew exactly where he was, and I directed him here. But the key is, like, and know what he said? And my son is in his 30s. You know what my son said? He told the young lady, he said, you know what? My mama's not going to rest until I get home.
Definitely.
What? And how old is your son, Christy?
And my son is 33.
Wow.
Wow.
That's nice.
That is awesome.
That is awesome. I'm going to ask you on standby just for a second. My co-host is joining us now. Ladies and gentlemen, Audrey Blake. Audrey, welcome to tonight's broadcast. We've got Edith on, and we've got a real hot one for you tonight here. And I know you've been tuning in, you've been listening in, you've heard our story.
Yes, I have. And so I'll continue to listen and just chime in when you need me to.
That sounds real good. Let's go to Rose real quick. Rose, give us your thought. I mean, here it is, I think Christy said her 33-year-old son was checking in and he realized, and that's obviously she did something right to train him up the right way. Give me your thoughts, Rose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think that's excellent. You have to do that. I mean, when I was also a single mom, and my kids also had to check in with me, you know, no matter where they are. And, of course, they also had a curfew. And when they leave home to go someplace, they normally call me when they got there to let me know, Mom, I got here safely. And when they're leaving to come home, they call me to let me know, Mom, I'm leaving now. I'm on my way home. So I think that's it's a good idea, you know, because you get worried when you have kids and they're outside. It doesn't matter how old they are, but they're living with
mm-hmm.
you, you know. So there's no way you can get a good night's rest, you know, when you know your child is out there someplace. The way things are nowadays, you know, things happen so quickly that you just need to have a check on them. So I totally agree with Christy and also with Edith.
Well, thank you for that.
I think
Rosa.
We're all in the connection. We're all in agreement.
Yeah.
Yes, and that is so interesting. You know, let's take a look here now. Going back to our story for tonight. All right, and one of the questions is, I mean, with Vicki, we're talking about coming up with some practical advice, and what I'm hearing is part of the practical advice is training your children in the right way that they should go, so when they're older, they won't depart from that. And that means you got to be that strong disciplinarian in it. That disciplinarian. Now, here
yes.
is a question. Now, Vicki doesn't have, and Christy, I want to direct this question at you. Vicki does not, and then I'm going to bring in Audrey on this as well. Vicki does not have any money, obviously. She's been on government assistance for the past 9 years. She's only 30. She's younger than your son, Christy, but she's got three kids, 11, 9, and 5. And so the question is, she's with this married man now. The two fathers are not helping. She's never been married. And now the married guy, he buys groceries. The most he can do is buy groceries every now and then. Now, the question is, should Vicki hold on to this married guy? Now, I'm not asking you all to judge her now. We're not judging anybody because there's an old saying you can't really judge somebody unless you walked in their shoes. And even then, it's questionable. But now, should Vicki hold on to this married guy since he provides some groceries now and then? Christy, let me take that from you. Go ahead.
No. She's
okay.
still making, she's already had three children. She's still making not dumb decisions. That's just plain as what it is. She's still making dumb decisions. He's only could buy grocery, but why she want what belongs to somebody else from the beginning?
So then let me ask you this question. Christy, if he were able to make a car payment for her, should that qualify him for her to hold on to him?
No, he still belongs to somebody else. And knowing that he's married, that should be a stop right there. He belongs to somebody else. And as long as he's married and she knows this here, then she will never be happy with him. He's
okay.
only there for probably other things, and then he goes home. So if he wants her that much, then he needs to make a commitment.
Well, he's already made a commitment to one woman. Now, Audrey, let me bring you in here, Audrey. And I mean, it's easy perhaps for people to say that out there, that, you know, let him go. But this guy is putting some food on the table once in a while. He maybe can't afford a car payment, and like Christy said, he's obviously there for some other things. But I mean, come on, do you just let him go? I mean, they got to eat.
Well, yeah, she has to. And even though single mothers, which I've been one, I've been married, I've been single, I know the feeling of the struggle that sometimes has come with that in the past. But I talk about it in my book. As many of you know, I'm the author of the book Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement, The Key to Healthy, Fulfilling Relationships. And there is a chapter specifically that addressed this, and it's called Mr. Right and Mr. Right Jr. And it talks about how the gentleman, and sometimes it could be a female, says to you, you know, I'm going to leave her as soon as, and you fill in the blank.
Okay.
And so my point is, I would say to this sister, it's just not worth it.
Mm-mm.
You have got to find your self-worth. Now, let's not judge her, because we don't know why people find themselves entwined in that type of situation, but she is worth more than that, and it's not worth him putting a few dollars in her pocket of what she has to give up to get that.
All right, let me go to Edith just for a second. We'll jump in, and we'll bring Rose back into the conversation. Edith, come on, these kids. I hear what Christy's saying. I hear what my co-host, Audrey,
mm-hmm.
is saying, but now these kids got to eat once in a while. I mean, come on. I mean, they're hungry. Do you have any idea, Edith, what it's like for your three boys to have been hungry? I mean, isn't there some temptation of compromising at all?
First of all, he's not providing 100%, so they're still going to be, you know, they're going to be 50% hungry. They're not going to be 100% filled, you know, with the little help he provides. I think that if she gets in perfect alignment with God first, okay, in the sense that she should seek for maybe some, you know, get in touch with some of her church groups or somebody that would give her an extended hand. And I know that some churches cannot, you know, provide for full help. However,
right, they'll just tell you, tell you that they'll pray for you. A lot of the churches will tell you that they'll just pray
for you. Exactly.
What's practical about that?
Definitely. I understand that not all the churches can provide 100% assistance. However, if she surrounds herself with the right people, you know, the right friends that would give her a helping hand, and also try to get connected with certain government or organizations, you know, like charity organizations that are willing to help out families out there that will be able to help her get out of this rut somehow. And I'm sure she's going to find some help if she looks for it. Sometimes we get in our comfort zone, we don't want to get out of it, but, you know, that's not going to be her total solution. This person in her life is not going to be a total solution because it's only partially helping her. And plus, even though we should not judge her, when we're trying to align ourselves with God by doing the right thing,
yes,
by not being with the wrong person. This man is a married man. So according to the rules of God, you know, God's commandments, this is actually adultery. So once, it does not do us any good to pray to God to help us out when we're actually committing the sin. We got to get out of that sin. We got to be in complete alignment with our Creator and try to follow the right way. Everything's going to fall into place. You know, I can challenge anyone on that.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by, all of you all. We appreciate your thoughts. We're going to go to Rose, and then we're going to start taking some of these comments. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. Rose, come on now. Are the ladies that are presenting this, including yourself, is this really practical? She's got a man partially helping out, as Edith has said, which is never enough. Would it make a difference if he was her boyfriend? Rose, let me ask you that question.
If he were not married, of course, that would make a big difference because then there is some hope for the commitment.
That's right.
But the fact that he is married, you know, he has someone else. As Christy said, he does not belong to her. But
yes,
I also want to say that it's not worth her giving herself to him now because later on she's going to regret it. I don't care how much he's promised her. She's going to regret it later. Her self-esteem and it's just going to go down the drain.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, she has a self-esteem problem right now. That is why she's with a married man. But later on, you know, when she looks back, she's going to really hate herself for doing this. Also, he buys groceries once in a while. What good is he doing to her anyway? You know,
mm-hmm.
He can't even afford to buy groceries for every week. Also, if she's on government assistance, I think that means she's getting food stamps, maybe getting housing. I know that they used to have a program where they'll let you go back to school to
mm-hmm.
some vocational program to learn a trade, you know, or something. So if she has three kids, the ages that you said, they're in school, therefore she have her days free. She's on government assistance, therefore she can also get the government to help her to pay for some kind of schooling, vocational schooling, which will help her in the future. So, no, she don't need that married man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me ask this to Audrey. Let me bring her in here a second. With some of the government assistance programs, you know, you get paid for the number of kids, I guess, by the number of kids you have. Audrey, wouldn't it be easy? I mean, I hear Rosa saying that go out here and get herself in school, some government program. But wouldn't it, you know, some people might consider, well, let me just have another baby, and I might be able to get an extra $125, $150 a month. What do you
think,
Audrey?
Well, let's hope not. I mean, I've been a caseworker before, and I've been on both sides of the desk, as we say. But, you know, it's such a minute amount that the award increases. And I say that as having been my first job in the 80s, was a caseworker in social services. You know, it's not worth it. I think that there are not a lot of people that think that way. That's kind of a stereotype that has been perpetuated in our society. There are some, unfortunately. But I do agree with Rose that I would just encourage this young lady to pursue things that would help enhance herself and position her to be able to provide for her children.
But it does happen. You agree? You've been in, you've been a caseworker, and it does happen that some women you found actually have another baby so that they can get more. Have you not seen those cases?
Just a few. I think a lot of that's a stereotype. Just like there's a stereotype that's mostly black people on assistance, and I had more Caucasian clients, or just as many as I did African Americans. So some of that's perpetuated by the media, but you found a small percentage that actually thinks like that.
Okay, all right. We're going to start taking some of the comments that are coming in. This male writes in. He says, "I think single parenting could be very difficult. I've heard you all mention over the air about letting the married man go, but then you never know how it would be if you were walking in her shoes." He says, "I don't have kids, but I saw the challenges my mother had raising four children alone. I can recall it was always hard for our family because there was never enough to go around. I think the key is planning ahead long before you get married or have any children." Well, that's after the fact. Christy, give me your thoughts on this. He's talking about from his early childhood. So now he's saying he also don't really judge this lady unless you walk in her shoes, and he doesn't have any kids.
Thank you. So you can't say anything if you've never been put in a – he doesn't have any kids, so he doesn't know what it's like. And, again, it's better to have your own than to be depending on somebody – what belongs to somebody else by this being a married man that belongs to another woman. So it was better, just like your co-host Ann Rose just said and Edith said – it's better for her to try to make life better for herself and her children in the long run.
All right, even take a shot at this one. Another male writes in. He says, "Unfortunately, not all women, it seems, know how to get some of the things they want, even being a single parent. I'm not suggesting doing anything to compromise your values. I mean making the man accountable to take care of his responsibility, especially child support. So give me that, Edith. What do you think about that? This man here is saying make those men accountable."
Let me tell you something. Men should be accountable because that's their responsibility. However, not all of them are. You have deadbeat parents, fathers, rather, out there that they're not accountable. And so when a woman is in that situation, like in my situation, they got to get out of that rut and do something about it. They got to move. They got to be proactive and not wait for everything to fall on their laps or on their hands. They have to get out and want to do something to be a role model for their own kids, because whatever they get educated on, they will be educating their kids as well. In other words, they got to be that role model. I never paid a single cent for my kids' education. Why? Because my kids have excelled. They all get straight A's. They're being in the role model. I mean, anybody can do it. I think all children, me as a teacher, I believe that all children have the capability, unless they have some kind of a mental disability. All children have the potential to learn, and even the ones with mental disabilities, you can, you know, extract the best out of them. So children can excel if you really push them to the limit. And a woman can make it on her own. She doesn't need a man to be on her side to provide for her. I did it for my own self, and I did not need anyone to be providing for me. Why? Because I tried to do it, get educated. Education is the most important thing. That is the key. And obedience to God, obviously. If you're in alignment with God, yes, everything will fall into place.
But either
and
I got to go back. And
will be high.
I got to go back and revisit something here, and I know that's going to bring a lot of controversy with my listeners, and they'll probably bring comments based on what you just said. A woman doesn't need a man to make she can make it all by herself. Explain that for me now. I mean, because you know, I mean.
Okay, I didn't mean to be so blunt like that. What I mean is that if a woman finds herself in this situation that I was in, where I had no other choice, okay, she has to survive for her own children, to bring them, you know, to educate them somehow. However, if the woman finds the right person in her life, the right man to help her, you know, provide for her children, so more power to her. That would be the ideal thing, because the nuclear family should never be broken. However, if it's broken for whatever reason, a woman does not need to be in a dysfunctional family by just, you know, being in a rut and then also being in a misery situation. She has to provide that self, high self-esteem to her children so that they don't feel like they'll never make it in life. They got to feel like winners and victorious, okay? If she brings a positive attitude into her kids will make it. However, if she feels like, okay, I'll never make it, then the kids will feel depressed just like her. And the nuclear family is important, like I said. However, you know, dysfunctional families do happen, but my family, because it's a broken family, it's not a dysfunctional family. My kids are happier than ever, even though their father is not around. But now the relationship is better with their father than when he was around. Why? Because they have become better individuals. They have understood. I made them understand the reason why we separated. It did not work. And everything is better than ever.
All right. Let me take another comment coming in. Audrey, did you want to jump in?
No, I'll wait. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me take another comment from a female right then. She says, it seems a lot of single parents, whether man or woman, make it too easy for the other party that contributed to the situation. I personally believe you enable a person when you don't do what it takes to make him or her responsible. Audrey, give me your thoughts on that. She says you're enabling that other person when you don't make them responsible.
I think I agree. Rather, the absent parent is a male or female, the mother or the father. It takes two to make that child and two to support that child or children. And so you do need to hold them accountable. The other quick thing I just wanted to say is we are setting an example before our children. So my children are grown, and like I said, I've been married and I've been single. But they often mention to me, well, Mom, I don't take the excuses that single women give me because I saw you do it. I saw you go to school. I saw you get a good job. So, you know, again, we are setting an example.
Okay. All right, excellent. Rose, we're going to give you a shot at this one. This female writes in. She says, as a woman, I think we should give great thought in the man we have children from, whether that is your boyfriend or your husband. Chances are, if he was not a responsible person during the dating process, it's probably unlikely that he will be a responsible person if you have children from him. Oh, wow. That's deep.
Yes, it absolutely is, and I do agree with that. But I'll even go a step further to say maybe you should also look at the parents, you know, the parents that he's coming from, especially his father, you know. Is his father responsible? Did his father take care of the children? You know, because a lot of times you find that they might pattern their parents. And, yes, I think if you're dating and that young man is not responsible, chances are, you know, he might not be changing when you get married.
Okay, Rose, that sounds almost as if you were giving some personal thoughts. Do you know anyone, a situation like Vicky's, where she was gravitating to all the wrong men? Do you know a situation where a woman will actually look at that father and see how you can smother that household, or any of you all for that matter? Christy, do you know any situations like that?
Situations like what? I'm sorry.
Where the, you know, Rose has suggested that she'll take it a step further and look at how the father, whether he's responsible in the home, you know, while you're dating a guy, look at his father. That's what she's saying. You know,
that is true, because usually a lot of children try to imitate their father. If the father was something in life, then usually that child will want to succeed as well, even though you do have some cases where even if the father was an alcoholic or whatever, the child still succeeded. So it's really up to the individual child.
Okay. All right, Chris, we were getting a little technical difficulty, your phone going in and out. This last comment here, Edith, we're going to go to you and with this comment. Female writes in, she says, being a single mom with three children was one of the toughest things I've ever had to face. I am thankful now that my kids are all grown up now and doing well, but it was not always easy. My advice would be don't try doing it all by yourself. Get the necessary help that you need and start with the kid's father. Or if you're a single parent man, start with the kid's mother. Now, Edith, that sounds like it's practical. That's the starting point. Get those parents, you know, that other party involved. Give me your thoughts.
Well, that would have been beautiful if both parents were responsible, but unfortunately we don't live in a perfect world, and obviously there will always be one, most of the time, that will be a deadbeat parent and will not be responsible for their part on upbringing that child. Unfortunately, some of us have to be on our own. We have no other choice. It would be ideal if we kept the father or the mother in the house, because that way it would be a better upbringing for the child, and the child would not be raised by only one of the parents. However, I believe that it is possible to maybe, if you find the right person in your life, just along the way, you got to pray to God first if that's choice that He wants for you to have. If you find the right person and that person, I've heard of cases in which, right now I know of a case right now, similar to Vicky's, of a woman who has had children from two different guys, and she had a third child now, and not to judge her or anything like that, she could not find happiness, and she divorced from the first one. The second one, she had a child out of wedlock. The third child, she married this guy. And now this guy is a disciplinarian and is helping her bring up her kids. Her kids are small, though. Maybe when you find yourself in the relationship where the kids are small and manageable, maybe you can mold them still. Ages like 7, 9, and 12, and now she has a baby.
Oh.
So maybe that can, she has a baby from the third man. So maybe that is feasible. But when you don't find the right person in your life, that God has put the right person in your life, you got to make it on your own. You have no other choice. You just got to hold on to God and pray that everything goes well. And yes, with a lot of determination and willpower and high self-esteem, obviously it is possible. It's not impossible.
Oh. All right, my producers are letting me know that we're going to forego the food for thought tonight because Edith is going to be with us in 2 weeks. On February 12th, she'll come back for part two. Is that right?
Yes.
Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to stay with this here. We've got about 2 minutes before we actually close the show out tonight. So I want to ask each one of you all in brief, very briefly, and we'll begin, and I do apologize for being under the weather tonight, a slight cough, the hiccup. I do apologize for that. And as a matter of fact, Eva says she's under the weather as well. Now, I just want to say briefly here, Rose, let's start with you. In 15 seconds or less, because we are running out of time, what is some practical advice? Two things. We're going to ask each one of you all for two things. Practical advice that you could give Vicky to get herself, as a struggling single parent. Two things.
Break it off with the married man and get herself in school.
Okay, I think that is excellent advice. Excellent advice. And I just want to say for the record, I was not suggesting that she hold on to this married guy. I agree with all of you all. I agree with you. Chrissy, let's go to you. Give us two thoughts that have not been said. Rosa said now, get rid of the married man and get yourself in school. Give me your two thoughts, Chrissy.
Pray and ask God to guide her in the right direction in her life in general.
Okay. All right. Very good. Then we're going to go to Edith, our featured guest this evening. Give us your two thoughts on some practical advice for her. Two thoughts. Quickly, please.
Yes, I agree with Rose. Pray to God first, okay, to give her the right direction. And second, get educated. Try to follow her dream about being a cosmetologist. And there's a lot of help out there. If she really looks for it, she will find the right help.
All right, we've got 30 seconds. My co-host, Audrey Blake, you've got the last word. Give us your two thoughts.
Quickly, prayerfully follow your dreams and rely on, look out the extended family and friends to help you out.
All right, I like that. On that note, ladies, I thank all of you all for being a part of the program tonight. We look forward to the next 2 weeks. I trust you all have enjoyed the show tonight as much as I did, and please tune in this Friday and every Friday, 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, for your half-hour inspirational program. If you choose to bypass Friday's inspirational program, please remember to tune in next Tuesday,
what our topic will be, are traditional marriages outdated or overrated? Part one. Please tune in because you really don't want to miss this show. Until then, remember, you must be 18 or older to do so. Until next week, Friday or next Tuesday, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.
God bless everyone.